Well, India, circa 1920, deep in the Rajasthan desert. A stunning Italian-inspired structure is built in the tiny town of Bagar. The Piramal Haveli was commissioned by wealthy merchants to honour the visit of the Maharaja of Jaipur, who rode in on an elephant back to great fanfare through the specially designed Piramal Gate. Fast forward nearly 100 years, the Haveli was transformed into a temporary recording studio for the purpose of capturing the innovative sounds of an exciting cross-cultural collaborative project by the Sydney saxophonist and composer Matt Keegan, courtesy of his 2011 Friedman Fellowship Award. Tonight, Matt Keegan is my special guest live in the studio, along with his colleague Ashish. Matt and Ashish, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, this is the third time we've had you on, Matt. I think the last time we spoke here in the studios of FM 99.3 was just after you had won the 2011 Friedman Fellowship.
Fantastic. I think that time was when I was about to go on tour with David Addis, right?
That's correct.
Who's my great inspiration and mentor, and a great honour to be able to travel with him and with Dave, and I learned a lot from that tour.
That's
after
right.
That, straight after that concert, it was a wonderful experience.
Yes, and of course the late David Addis now, quite sadly. But Matt, you've been an integral member of bands such as the Jazz Groove, Mothership Orchestra, well known to my listeners, Mark Isaac's Resurgence Band, 20th Century Dog, James Muller, The World According to James, Steve Hunter, numerous more artists in Australia here. But the Three C's really has been your abiding project. And the performance next Saturday night at the National Maritime Museum, in a way, is this the official launch of the album?
Yeah, definitely, man, of course.
And it's been a long time coming. 2013 it was recorded. Can I ask you to briefly take us back to 2009 when you travelled to India, and then subsequently when you conceived of this project called The Three C's?
Well, I was lucky enough to be invited to India by an Indian lady, Sutopa Parab, and she was friends with all these wonderful musicians in India, and she's said for many years, please come and hang out with my friends. And I finally did, and never looked back. Yeah. Fell in love with the tradition of music there, and even beyond the notes or it's more the feeling of the sound that the music gives you, and the timeless quality of it, and the way that it's integrated into their culture in a really full way. And as an Aussie guy with little culture, you know, you're sort of looking around, and it really knocked me off my feet, the feeling of the tradition, actually. And was invited to be part of it by my friends that are now in the Three C's.
Yeah, we played quite a lot before doing the Three C's.
Yeah, we jammed a lot. I jammed individually, and Ashish the most. He was the key.
Yeah, really. We did this small event at this very prestigious place in Shantiniketan called Kalabhavan, which is a fine art department. And there we happened to meet all on the stage. Somehow our friend Sutopa organized this event. And we, basically met on the stage and played this wonderful music with Matt improvising with the Bawal musicians, and some of our friends came from Kolkata. And I think that was our first performance altogether.
So it was a spontaneous meeting. And it all went from there. So at what stage after that meeting did you think, well, there's a real tangible project in this?
There was a lot going on. Like, it's a pretty full-on place, India, and I was going to other places as well, traveling a lot. And it wasn't until I got home and I just sort of could a moment to reflect and went, oh, and thought about all the people I met and the people that most touched my heart. I thought, this is where it needs to be. And that was these three musicians. So that's the way it became. And we met some others, my friends as well, and a nice collaboration. And even this time we've met some more different people. And happening still. So it's developing too. That's the nice thing about it. Yeah.
And of course, one of the your special guests with you that was originally on the album, as well as the folk singer Raju Das Bal, he's being described as a superstar. Well, tell us about that.
That's because he is a superstar. Well, tell us.
I saw him when I was a very young singer in Shantiniketan. And he happened to be very lucky among the bows. There are many, many bows, but I think he met some good connection and met some right people in the music.
And he's also pretty sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. Yeah.
No, but cool dude. He's cool. Like, he has a nice feeling about him.
He's very musical and he's very talented with his instruments. And he has got this very old heritage of singing. His Guruji is Satyananda Das, who is one of the solo exponent of Baul singing in Bengal. So he got that heritage. He's carrying that legacy.
So he's coming from that lineage.
Yeah, his father's a tabla player.
Okay.
He plays tabla.
Yes.
We played at that concert with us. We played with his father,
Now, he'll be bringing his kamak, is it? Is that how you
pronounce kamak, it? Kamak.
And I was just having a look at that instrument. It's sort of like a drum with some strings that can be adjusted, almost like a like how folk singers would play the old T-chest bass.
Yeah, or same sort of like a talking drum. Yeah.
It's a fascinating instrument. You can play the melody and the rhythm at the same time.
Yeah, letting go of the strings
it's
to
the
make
tension
it,
of, yeah,
the tension of the strings.
You pull the tension with your hand, but it's the coolest instrument. It's so funky. A nice rhythm. It's got a nice propulsion.
And yet it's got that drone effect as well, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
So I guess one of the fascinating things about this performance that's happening next Saturday night is really the variety and, to a degree, for Australian audiences, the exoticism of these instruments, one of which you've brought in to show us here tonight into the studio, and that's called the Esraj.
Esraj. Now, it's the only bowing instrument with frets. There are many bowing instruments, but they are mostly without the frets.
It's almost like a... Would you say it's a, sort of like a miniature sitar?
Yeah.
It's got characteristics that the sitar has. The tuning strings, see how all these things... It's that you don't play those strings, you just use those strings to tune, and then you actually only bow, what, three strings or two strings?
It's resonates.
Resonator strings.
With the notes you play on this, on the fret. It resonates with that.
Yeah, you don't actually bow those other notes, but there's like, how many strings? There's like 21 strings, but you only bow what, three?
Yes, three.
You only bow three, but there's 21. Yeah.
And the frets are quite curved, and the cutaway to allow you to bow is quite deep into the instrument. I'm just wondering whether we could just hear a little bit of that. Now you have Gabu Chatterjee, the drummer.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah. He's and quite a famous musician in Kolkata in the rock scene, Bengali rock scene.
Yeah,
he was one of the first bands that had rock music with the Bengali language, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's really acting as a conduit, in a way, between the Western musicians, yourself and Steve Elphick, you've introduced, and of course the Eurasian counterparts here. This is just a wonderful opportunity, isn't
this
it?
Bridge, between this two, and he's quite understanding, and he's a performer basically. He's been performing almost.
His father's a famous musician.
Yeah, famous musician and traveling a lot also. But his father used to be a very famous actually bandman actually from Bengal. They started this band culture in Kolkata. So he also carries this legacy of his father, like, who started picking up guitars and playing Bangla rock songs. So Gabu is the part of that family.
Matt, you've introduced Steve Elphick into the mix, and of course he has no end of experience in various folk musics. He's worked with Mara, Sandy Evans, Kim Sanders, Bobby Singh. What do you feel he's bringing to this stage?
Oh, he brings so many years of just experience, and he's also a master musician. He there's no one who has a sound on the bass like that.
Yes, whoa. I haven't heard anyone live, you know. And especially when we were playing this one song called Kites, and we were about to start rehearse, and I was practicing the basic tune of this song Kites, and he suddenly entered with this rolling of these notes, and he got that one right, and it was spine chilling.
When you're dealing with
with such a humble human,
They're very elegant,
yeah.
And the way he plays and the sound, and it's fit perfectly. He's got so many years of played ethnic music, and he's been involved in it for so long. And
he came to India in 1983.
Yeah,
I was 5 years old. Raju was not born, and Gabu was maybe 1 year old.
Yeah,
so we were talking to him like, and he told us to call him a dad. So we are having a good time with Steve. Yeah, he's such a fun.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
you might want to just briefly give us a brief overview. This is the Open Door.
So we recorded this. In the story is we recorded in a hotel chain, which is a beautiful Nimrana hotels. They buy old villas and things like this. And the place that we stayed at was called the Piramal Haveli, 100-year-old Italian-style villa in the Rajasthan desert. And each room was a different feeling and sound.
Exactly.
And this sound we captured with the dotara and the 12-string guitar in the massive bathroom chamber. It's the.
I think this is Open Door.
Yeah.
So the dotara is like, that's like a Bengali banjo, is that right?
Yeah, this is a Bengali banjo, but it's also widely played around Bengal, like in Bangladesh, in mostly all many parts of Bengal it's played. Yeah, fretless banjo. Actually, you can have a really nice slur.
This
instrument.
But you can hear the reverb of the bathroom, the chamber.
And this song, Open Door, it's written by Matt and Cameron.
That's right. And yourself.
Yes, I wrote the Hindi lyrics on it. And I wrote this song after meeting this old man on this Piramal Haveli gate. And he was the one who addressed all Maharaja coming through the gate inside the Haveli. And I made friends with him, and he was a Kabir follower, a follower of Kabir, a 17th century poet, a very revolutionary poet in India, Kabir. So he never been to school, but he has learned all these dohas, the recitation, all the things that Kabir wrote. And I was very inspired by him, and I went and met him every morning and had chai. it was his motivation. He gave me inspiration to write this song, and it's all about just move on.
Ashish,
yes.
And Matt Keegan, thank you very, very much for joining us in the studio tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.